We're studying the Sicha Lekutei Sichos, Volume 13, the second Sicha for Matos. Torah tells us that after the Jewish people came back from the war of the Midianites, they came back with tremendous amount of spoils, and there was a special mitzvah involved in the instruction what to do with the spoils, and it goes like this. First thing they have to do is split the spoils in half. One half goes to the warriors who actually won the battle. The other half goes to the rest of the Jewish people, 50-50. And then we further have to give a tax on each half. So that goes like this. From the tax that went to the warriors, 1 in 500 goes to the temple. It was given to Elazar the Kohen to be used in the temple, Mishkan, tabernacle, treasury. From the other half, which is given to all the Jewish people, one fiftieth went to the Levites. All right? So we divided it, and then we gave a tax. To repeat, we divide the whole spoils, all of the spoils, 50-50, half to the legions who fought the war, half to the rest of the Jewish people. And then of the first half, we give 1 in 500. One of every 500, a tiny amount, to the tabernacle treasury. Of the second half, we give 1 of 50, that means 2%, to the Levium, to the Levites. However, the Torah doesn't suffice by just saying that generality. The Torah decides to give us all of the details. First of all, and that's going to be the question of the Sicha, spare me the details. Why so many details? The Torah, first of all, gives us all the numbers. 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 humans were taken captive. Why do we need all these details? And then the Torah doesn't stop there. But the Torah then enumerates, after those numbers were split in half, the Torah tells us how much one half came to. The half that went to the legions of the army. And then the Torah repeats those numbers, how much the second half came to. Those numbers are exactly the same. Why is the Torah even saying them, and why does the Torah repeat them a second time? The Torah further says, from the first half, which came out to X amount in all the categories, 1 of 500 is a tax, as said, and the Torah gives us that number. Why so many details? Strangely enough, though, the Torah fails to give the final number of what the 1/50th would be from the second half of the spoils. So the question is, on the one hand, we don't need any numbers. Just tell me the rules, split it in half, and then give the various taxes. If you want to give me the numbers, give me the total, and I can figure it out from there. No. On the one hand, the Torah gives us all of the numbers, not only the total, but what one half came to and what the other half came to, which was exactly the same. And then the Torah further gives us what the tax of 1 of 500 was from the first half, but it stops short of telling me what the tax of the 1 of 50 comes to from the second half of the spoils. If for some reason we need to have all these numbers, why does the Torah stop short of that last number? At some point in the Sicha, the Rebbe answers this last part of it on a halachic level, and the Rebbe says that commentaries point out that the tax that's given to the temple, 1 of 500, is a tax which is incumbent upon the Jewish people by any future wars. So this is a law for all of history, whereas the tax of the 1 of 50, the 2%, that's given to the Levites, that was unique to this war, and it's not a law that will be carried on for future generations. Hence, the Torah doesn't have to delineate that amount. So that's on a halachic, on a legal level, one of the explanations given why that last number, the tax of the Levites, to the Levites, is omitted. But we still have the question why all of these numbers are needed, and we still have the question why on the literal level, not on the legal level of Torah study, but on the literal Rashi, so to speak, level of Pshat, why all of these numbers are there, including the repetition, including the tax, and yet we omit the last tax of the 1 in 50. And the Rebbe explains this in his signature style, that this answers a very simple problem that arises when you read the text. And that is, if God instructs you to take the spoils, split them exactly in half, and start to give them out with a tax of 1 in 500 and 1 in 50, what happens with the leftovers, with the change? From the Torah doesn't address that. You split it in half, and then you're further saying give 1 in 500 and 1 in 50. For it to be so precise that every area of the spoils, first of all, is able to be divided in half. That means none of them were an odd number. Could happen. But then for each one of those now split in half to be a number that's divisible exactly by 550, respectively, without any change, is extraordinary. The Rebbe makes a point to say it's not miraculous, but it's very extraordinary. So, for example, there were 675,000 sheep. That has to be a number that's divisible by 2, which it is. It's an even number. But then that split number has to further be able to be divisible by 500 and by 50 without any change. Because if there was change, if there were a couple of little sheep running around unspoken for, we would be unable to do the mitzvah of paying the tax for that section of the spoils. And then the Torah would have to address it. The Rebbe doesn't mention this in the Sicha, but I'm going to add it parenthetically, that there is other cases, for example, where the Torah does mention what to do with the leftovers. When the firstborn were exchanged for the Levites, the Torah mentions that they were a very similar in number. They were both about 22,000, except there were a few hundred more of the firstborn versus the Levites, and the Torah discusses what to do with the leftovers. There were some 200 extra and change, extra firstborn versus Levites, and the Torah has a whole discussion that they need to pay a shekel to be redeemed. So the Torah discusses the leftovers. Here, the Torah lays down a rule, split the tax in half, and there's hundreds of thousands of units. It's close to 1 million units between everything on the list. It's exactly divisible, 50-50, and then each section is exactly divisible into 1 of 500 without no leftovers. Do the math. The chances of that happening are very, very slim. Says the Rebbe, and yet the Torah does not discuss what to do with the leftovers. It's for that reason that the Torah is going through all the details of the numbers, because the Torah is trying to point out, guess what? That's exactly what happened. There was exact numbers. They were divisible 50-50. They were further divisible by 500 and 1 in 50, respectively. And there were no leftovers. Almost miraculous. We're not calling it miraculous because it's not. It is possible. But it shows that God orchestrated nature, so to speak, in such a precise way. When the Jews came back with close to 1 million units of spoils, they were able to fulfill the mitzvah of dividing it up and then giving the respective taxes without any leftovers, so there isn't a single unit of the spoils that was not taxed. It didn't have the mitzvah of giving the tax that God had instructed them. Not one single unit. And this is extraordinary. It shows God's caring, God's orchestration of the Jewish people so that the mitzvah can be done 100%. And therefore, in order to point this out, and in order to remove the question mark, what happened to all the leftovers? What happened to the change? The Torah makes a point and goes through all these numbers, goes through all that trouble to delineate the numbers. Take a look at the text. It's a number of verses. It's a whole bunch of numbers. And it's essentially repeating the same things. It's taking the same total, dividing it by half, and then again dividing it by half and dividing it by 500. All the while, it's emphasizing, guess what? The numbers were precise. It worked perfectly. There were no extras. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Where's the leftover? There weren't any. It was perfect. That's exactly the Torah's point with the whole litany, the whole laundry list of numbers to show that, in fact, it was exactly precise. And to further show to further show, after we divided them in half, it tells us how much one half comes to. And it tells us how much one of 500 of that half comes to, which is extraordinary that it was exactly divisible, each one of the objects on the list. The Torah then again repeats the second half, how much that came to, even though that number is identical to the first half. Here the Rebbe borrows from other commentaries the concept that in all the time that it took to divide up all these spoils, and it's a lot, so presumably it took time, I don't know, hours or days, not one unit of cattle died, not one, which would throw off the whole thing. It would make the whole thing uneven and nothing would be divisible anymore. And yet, no, in fact, it didn't happen. So when they were counting up the second half, first half being given to the legions of the soldiers, second half being given to the Jews, it came out identical. Why is that important to note? It seems obvious. It's important to say that with all the time that elapsed, not one cattle, not one sheep, not one camel, not one donkey perished, which would create a whole problem in this division and in the taxes, the mitzvah of taxes that comes with it. No, everything remained perfect, and therefore the Torah repeats that number. The exception is Torah doesn't feel a need to repeat, to mention the number of the 1 in 50, because that's already obvious. Once I know that they were exactly even, and once I know that each half, that half is divisible by 500, and I further know that the second half is equal to the first half because no cattle, no units perish in the interim. Obviously, the second half is divisible by 1 in 50, because if it's divisible by 1 in 500, it's much easier to divide it by 1 in 50, and that's a no-brainer. So the Torah just states that they did it 1 in 50 and gave it to the Levites. No need to delineate that number. That would, in fact, be unnecessary. What's the lesson from this whole story? That the Rebbe is teaching us that the Torah, which is so precise and so concise, we learn entire laws from one extra letter and one extra word. And yet the Torah takes verses upon verses upon verses just to state numbers that are pretty much obvious. Just to point out the fact that God orchestrated it to be perfect, that the numbers lined up, that there was no change. As mentioned earlier, says the Rebbe, the lesson is very important. It makes sense that the Torah goes through all this trouble to teach us this. The lesson is that when God gives the Jewish people a mitzvah to do, he will make it possible to fulfill that mitzvah, even if sometimes it seems impossible. Just like in this case, God gave him a mitzvah, divide it up, give a tax. It's got to be so much and so much, got to be so much and so much. It seems impossible for this mitzvah to be doable without the problem of leftovers. If any one of the categories were an odd number, if any one of the categories died, if any one of the categories didn't add up to 1 in 500 or 1 in 50, boom, the mitzvah would be problematic. Says the Torah, look what God did. He orchestrated the mitzvah. God loves when we do a mitzvah, and God doesn't just give us a command, but he helps us fulfill that command even when it sometimes seems impossible. And this is a perfect case in point. Who would think it would be possible for them to fulfill this command properly and precisely? It would take a, quote, miracle. Says the Torah, yeah. God helps us do the mitzvah. He orchestrates that the numbers should be exact. And the Rebbe goes through the details in this sicha, that in order for the numbers to all to be exact, God had to plan in advance, so to speak, the flock, the cattle, the donkeys of the people of Midian, so that when it came time for the war spoils, those numbers would add up exactly as needed to be able to fulfill the mitzvah as discussed in all of those aforementioned categories perfectly and precisely. God orchestrates it, and if it takes God to come and figure everything out to work perfectly, so be it. God will be there for us to help us to do that mitzvah. Says the Rebbe, translated, each of us in our own world. Each of us decides to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah seems difficult. Maybe it seems impossible or highly improbable that I'll be able to do it. Let me give you a for instance. I took upon myself a mitzvah that I'm going to study Torah each week. And over 8 years, I'm going to conclude the entire Likutei Sichos. It seems impossible. There's so many difficult sichos. There's so many long sichos. It's 8 years. I don't know how I'll find the time. I don't know how I'll I'll have the mindset, the brain power. Says the Rebbe in today's Sicha, if you make a commitment to fulfill that mitzvah, Hashem will orchestrate it so that you can do it 100%. Definitely possible. When a Jew needs to do a mitzvah, they will find a way because God orchestrates and makes it possible. Translate that to any mitzvah. I took on a resolution, I'm going to keep kosher. But how can I? I travel so much. I took on a resolution to keep Shabbos, but how can I? I have so many commitments, business or family or otherwise. This Sicha says that Torah goes at great length in the portion of Matos and all of these numbers to say, if God gives you a mitzvah to keep the kosher, to keep the Shabbos, to study the Torah, etc., you should know for sure that God orchestrates reality to work for you. If there's a will, there's a way. Set yourself your goal to accomplish the mitzvah, and God will help make it possible to be fulfilled in its fullest, most perfect way.